Father God, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the breath that you put in our lungs this morning. We thank you, Lord, for raising us out of bed, getting us to church, to gather as a body of believers, as like-minded believers, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you did on the cross through our Lord, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation as a result of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to work in our lives through the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. We thank you, Lord, that you are our all in all, that with you we can do and accomplish all things. Without you, we have absolutely nothing. I do pray, Lord, for this morning and pray for this service. Pray, Lord, that you can quiet our hearts and our minds. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for your message. Help us, Lord, not to be hearers only, but to be doers as well. Help prepare us, Lord, as we go out through the rest of this week, Lord. Equip us to go out into the dark, dark world that seems to be getting darker and darker. But Lord, you have equipped us to be the lights of this world. Help us to shine as bright as we possibly can, to evangelize, to bring the truth that you've given us to the dark world around us. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for the tools that you give us. Help us, Lord, to do just that, to accomplish your will, to make your will our will, and to further your kingdom. Again, we pray for this morning. Pray that this service would glorify you in all we say and do. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So today's theme is Christ's Lordship. I don't know if you were here for first hour. I pray that you were. We already covered part of this topic. But this morning we are talking about Christ's Lordship and what it means to us. Now, when I was growing up, I was always taught that you don't eat your dessert first. But I'm going to give you the dessert right now. Christ is our Lord. I feel like I need a mic drop right here. The Bible references Jesus with many names and many titles. He is called Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Savior and Messiah. He's also called Lord. Unlike many of the other terms given to Jesus, the term Lord is fairly common and many times can be taken for granted. So what does Lordship or Lord actually mean? To start with, the Lord means master or ruler, one who has authority or to whom service and obedience are due. With that, we look at our Lord and Savior as our master, and we recognize him for who he truly is, the second person of the eternal God, and we give him the honor that he truly is due. It is the submitting to the authority of Christ and from the time of your conversion, accepting him as master of your life. He is Lord and Savior. Through the work he did on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. Lordship was at the very heart of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 14, verse 8, "For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both over the dead and the living." Christ is Lord over the dead and the living. He is Lord over all. But the subject of Christ's Lordship has drawn attention over years. Theological debate consists of primarily two camps: Lordship salvation and free grace. The issue boiled down really comes to one question. Must Jesus be Lord of your life? Or better, can you have saving faith without Jesus being your Lord? The debate has spanned roughly a century, with free grace theologians like Lewis Sperry Schaeffer, Charles Ryrie, and others like Zane Hodges more recently. Free grace advocates would answer, yes, you can have saving faith without Christ being your Lord. Conversely, theologians like John Murray and John MacArthur, among many others, have taught that Lordship salvation is upon repentance and upon conversion. When someone receives saving grace, Christ Jesus is your Lord. Now, Hodges and other free gracers believe in salvation through faith alone, sola fide, but he stops there. Faith is simply faith and nothing more. There's no more to it. By his argument, faith does not include such things as repentance, submission to Christ, or bearing fruit. It is a free gift, and a free gift alone. Salvation is by faith alone and nothing more. And lastly, he also believes that you can lose your salvation as a believer. As Apostle Paul would say, may it never be. To support their view, they use Philippians 3:18-19. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even as I weep, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Now, we would argue that those who fall away were never believers to begin with. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. They witnessed the miracle of Christ, who fed them, and they were satisfied. The next morning, Christ and his disciples were gone. What did they do? They sought out Christ. They found him. They tracked him down. But why? They wanted another free handout. They wanted food. They weren't looking for salvation. They weren't looking to make Christ their Lord. They wanted a handout. They wanted more food. They wanted a provider. They wanted a welfare system. That's what they were searching for. Jesus proclaimed to be the bread of life, that they would never go hungry nor thirsty. But that wasn't satisfying to them. That's not what they wanted. Unsatisfied, they walked away and rejected Christ. Back to the notion that a believer can lose their salvation, the word of God is quite clear. Romans 8, verse 38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Also, John chapter 10, Jesus said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then, of course, in verse 30, that infuriated the Pharisees, I and the Father are one. The Father has given them to me, says Jesus. No one will take them from me. It's impossible. It's hard to argue with Christ's lordship and the assurance of salvation here. Jesus Christ is our Lord, our King. We do not make him our Lord. We do not choose him. It's not our choice. It's not an act that we do. We do not believe in the works. He chose us. Anyone who does not accept Christ as Lord and submit to his lordship is guilty of fully rejecting him. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I'd like to put a plug in here for our first hour. We've been going through cults, and more specifically, recently, the Catholic Church. And we're looking at the Evangelicals and Catholic Together document and the differences in faith. And they outline, they being R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur, and D. James Kennedy, the word alone. Catholics believe that by grace, through faith in Christ, they believe that. They will agree with that. My mom wholeheartedly agrees with that. It's the word alone that they don't agree with. They drop that word. How easy it is for a person to manipulate scripture by a single word. One of my favorite verses, Romans 9 or 10, and I have many favorite verses. One can even claim that the Bible is all my favorite verses. Chapter 10, verse 9 and following, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. For scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Greek, Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus came from heaven to earth, emptied himself, humbled himself, and took on the form of man. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross, an atoning sacrificial death, was buried in a tomb, raised victoriously, and ascended into heaven to occupy his throne in glory, where God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. So what does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, it involves a recognition of his lordship. For the Savior who saved us when we received him by faith is the Lord, Jesus Christ. We cannot and do not receive him as Savior only. Jesus, to be Lord of your life means that he is the ruler, the boss. He is the master of your whole life, not just on Sundays, not just when someone is watching, every minute of every day. He cannot be Lord of only part, but the whole entirety of your life. When I think about the whole of a person, I think Jesus defined it best. Answering the question about the greatest commandment in Mark 12, quoting Deuteronomy, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your what? With all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Simply put, everything, everything that you are. You cannot be lukewarm." What was the church in Revelation? The lukewarm was Laodicea, right? They were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. You cannot have saving faith without submitting to Christ's lordship. You cannot say grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, and not accept Christ as Lord. You cannot upon conversion must be all in. You cannot say you are a butterfly and walk as a caterpillar. And why? Because of the cross. Because Christ our Lord saved you from all of your sin, not just a little bit, not just the last 5 years, not the big ones or the little ones, all of your sin, past, present, and future. This reminds me of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." The third verse, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glory," and I'm not going to sing it, "of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise thee, Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." I love that part. Not in part, but the whole. It is all or nothing. So what does it involve to say that Christ is Lord? What must a person do in order to make Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life? Simply put, yield your life to him. This involves taking your hands off the control of your life and allowing him to be in control. Now, this is not a let go and let God. Don't be mistaken. No, this is submitting to Christ, submitting to the word, making his will your will, striving to be more Christ-like each and every day, seeking to glorify him in all you say and do, and most importantly, being fully obedient to Christ. Remember, if he is not Lord of your whole life, then he is not your Lord at all. To reject Christ as Lord, or to consider him as Lord only over part of your life, is rejecting Christ as whole. There's a second element to yielding your life to the Lord. In addition to absolute surrender, there must be an absolute acknowledgement of his ownership. Paul addressed the subject of ownership in Romans 6, starting in 17. "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were entrusted. And after being freed from your sin, you became slaves to righteousness." Further on in verse 22, "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And that's where some of the free gracers go wrong. They look at the free gift and they stop there. They stop short of the eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are not our own. We are bought at a price. We belong to Jesus. We are his purchased possession. When a person yields to the lordship of Christ, he or she acknowledges his ownership over your life. As owned by the Lord, we are instructed and directed to walk in a manner worthy of the title Christian, which bears the name of our Lord. A believer cannot live as a carnal unbeliever, as Schaeffer and other free gracers would argue. A little sneak peek into 1 John, sorry. 1 John 1:6, like John already mentioned earlier, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. You can't have both sides of that fence. It's impossible. A butterfly cannot go back and be a caterpillar. Believer, once you were slaves to sin, you are now slaves to righteousness. Yielding to the lordship of Jesus Christ also involves total and unreserved obedience. Not just on Sundays, not when someone's watching, every minute of every day. Jesus gave us the best example of obedience in himself, in his perfect obedience to the Father all the way to the cross. If he is the Lord of your life, we will obey and follow him. The world has rejected Christ. And when I say rejected, it's not just the people who vocalized their objection or rejection of Christ. But if a person does not accept Christ and submit, they reject Christ. We are reminded in Philippians 2, verse 9, "For this reason also God highly exalted him, Christ, and bestowed on him the name above, the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If you're here today and you've not made Christ your Lord, I pray that today is that day that the Lord will open up your heart and that you will seek him, seek repentance, seek salvation, and seek Christ as your Lord. There's coming a day when every person who has ever lived will bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ, our King and our Lord. They won't have a choice. The scales from their eyes will be pulled back and the truth will be revealed. We should be living in that mindset each and every day, that our Lord is our Lord every day of every minute. We are not half in, half out, but that we are fully committed to the obedience of Christ Jesus.